The following podcast is from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Cartersville, Georgia. Thanks for listening.
Church family, if you have a copy of God's Word with you, and I hope you do, I want to invite you to find your place in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and this morning we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And I've been preaching through this letter from the first century found within our New Testament. And this morning I'm preaching on the subject, staying grounded in God's truth. Staying grounded in God's truth. John the Apostle wrote this letter and he knew that his readers were being affected by a first century form of false teaching that was invading local churches. We know it today as the Gnostic heresy. These false teachers and congregations taught believers that, hey, you've got Jesus, but in order to be truly spiritual, you need something more. You need special knowledge. Special knowledge, by the way, that we happen to have. You need to follow us and what we say. So John wrote to believers, look in verse number 1 in your Bible, and said, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit." Now notice the moniker or the term of address, "dear friends." That is a word aimed at true believers. And it reminds us this morning that if we are in Christ, we are dear friends, deeply loved by the Heavenly Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. No matter what we experience, no matter what people may say about us, no matter what the world may throw our way, in Christ, we are dear friends. We are loved. The Word also reminds us of the fellowship we have with one another. We have a family in our church to support us and strengthen us throughout our experiences in this fallen world. And then John says, do not believe. Everybody say that word, believe. Important word in the original language of the New Testament. Here John uses an imperative in the original Greek language. That is a command. It is as if he, as a military general, is commanding the church, do not believe what you're hearing. Do not believe every spirit. And in the original language, the verbiage actually commands readers to stop an action that is in progress. It is as if John is saying, hey, I know what's going on in the church. There's all of this fancy new teaching that has a Christian label on it, and some of you are being duped and deceived, and it's as if John is saying, listen, church, stop it right now. Stop it. Get back to the basics. Get back to the faith given by the prophets in the Old Testament, Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament. And John here is reminding readers, his readers in the first century, of the need to stay grounded in God's truth. And the Holy Spirit of God has given us this scripture for us as well. We are here in the 21st century, and like John's readers, it is easy sometimes to be deceived, duped, and distracted by the spirit of this world. It is easy to let what others say about us blind us from the realities of Christ. It is easy sometimes to let current events discourage us from gospel truth. It is easy sometimes to let all of the stuff of this world, our hobbies and our jobs and our material things, to blind us from the realities of Christ. A.T. Robertson, the great Southern Baptist Greek scholar, said, it's all too easy sometimes for us to fall victims to the latest fads in spiritual humbuggery. So discernment and vigilance is definitely needed. So you know this Christian. Are you a Christian? Are you born again? Have you been saved? Have you trusted in Christ for salvation? Is the Spirit of God within you? Are your sins forgiven? Are you confident, 1 John 5:13, that you have a relationship with God and promise of eternal life in heaven? If you are a Christian this morning, be keenly aware. There's going to be stuff that happens in the world and current events. There's going to be fads in Christianity. And there's going to be people. If you're not careful, such things can deceive you from the simplicity of Christ. And you need to be well equipped with God's word. You need to be grounded in God's truth so that you can stand joyful, and so that you can stand in peace, and so that you can stand as a witness for Christ. I remember when I lived in Pensacola, Florida, I'd heard a lot about hurricanes, but I never was a part of one until my senior year in college. And I can remember we got the word that bad weather was coming, and we were told to get back to our dorm rooms and to proceed to the basement to seek shelter. Now, I had sought shelter in tornadoes in Georgia, but never hurricanes. And I can remember, I'd heard before about the way in which palm trees in strong winds were really resilient, could stand up against strong winds. And I remember walking back to my dorm room and seeing rain blow sideways. I'd heard of that phenomenon. And then I saw the palm trees indeed bending, and they looked like this. We have a picture and an image of palm trees withstanding strong winds. I remember getting an explanation of the way in which palm trees do this and being told that palm trees have a very deep root system. The way our Creator made them, they are able to withstand great storms and great winds. I think this is a fitting picture of the believer. There's going to be all types of winds, the winds of culture. There's going to be all types of winds, trials and tragedies in your life. There's going to be all types of winds, friends who get caught up in the stuff of the world. There's going to be all types of winds, the latest Christian fads. There's going to be all types of winds that can distract us and blow us off course in the faith. And we need to hear John's words and be ready to stand strong. The question we have this morning is, how can we stay grounded in God's truth? And I believe here John gives us three actions we can take to stay grounded in God's truth and stand up against the winds that would blow us off course. Number one, see this action or this encouragement from John. Number one, be aware of the spirit of error. Be aware of the spirit of error. See, this is half the battle, church. If we want to stand strong, we've got to be aware that there is a spirit world out there, and Satan is working strategically to blind people to the realities of Jesus. Satan is very glad to get involved in the church and to get people caught up in stuff that doesn't matter, and to deceive the church and to get the church off of a focus on God's word. And Satan takes delight in getting the church distracted with worldly things. And John spoke of this in verse number one when he said, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit." That word spirit's an important word. It referred in the first century world to an immaterial being. Could refer James 4:5 to the spirit of the Lord, or 1 Corinthians 2:11 to the spirit of man. You know, you have a soul nature that sometimes is called a spirit. It was sometimes used to speak Hebrews 1:7 and 1:14 of an angel, one of those holy beings created by the Lord to worship him in his presence or to serve as messengers for him on earth. The word was also used to speak of malevolent spirits, a demon, 1 Timothy 4:1. Was used of Satan himself, Ephesians 2:2. And in Revelation 13:15, this word is used of Antichrist. Here, this term spirit was important amongst John's audience because the Gnostic false teachers like to use this word to speak of the way in which they communicated with angels. You could read Colossians 2:18 and discover that this was a core teaching amongst the Gnostics. They came to ordinary believers in the church and they said, yeah, you've got Jesus, you got the Bible, you've got the Gospels, but listen, we've been communicating with angels and we have special knowledge from the spirit realm. And John here uses the Gnostics' cherished term against them. And he reminds first century believers that there is an evil spirit, Satan, and that he has minions, demons, and that he has been working Satan since the beginning of time through the spirit realm to blind people to the realities of Christ and to deceive God's people. Was this not his plan from the beginning of time? Genesis 3:1. 2 Corinthians 4:4 teaches us that he works to blind people to the realities of God. Ephesians 6:12 teaches us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood in the church, but against an unseen realm, a spirit realm. Satan is working today through Hollywood, through the media, through sports. He is working through political principalities to blind people to the reality of Jesus. Satan, we even believe, on the basis of Daniel 10, 13, and 14, the basis of Ephesians 2, 1 through 2, the basis of 1 Kings 22, 9 through 19 through 20, Satan is even working through so-called Christian preachers to deceive the church. Read the stories in 1 Kings 22, 19 through 20 sometimes. You'll see how the Lord speaks of the way in which Satan raised up false prophets to deceive Israel. In his writings, Paul would confirm that demonic spirits often drive false teaching in the church, 1 Corinthians 12:10 and 2 Corinthians 11:4. So, believer, if you want to stand strong in the truth, be aware there is a spirit realm. And Satan, since the beginning of time, remember what he did to Adam and Eve, has been working hard to deceive people concerning God's realities. See, the spirit of tolerance that's out there, even in the church, where when we say, well, that's what they believe, this is kind of what I believe, be careful. You shouldn't claim to believe anything that's not rooted and grounded in God's word. Be on guard. There is a spiritual war, and there is only one way to win the spiritual war, and that is through the offensive weapon, Ephesians 6:12, of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. So test all Christian teachings. Test all Christian programs. Test the philosophies you see on social media and in the news. Test your value system and your priorities by the plumb line standard of God's word. Be aware of the spirit of error. Oh, Satan's taking delight today as so many churches, even within our convention, are getting caught up in causes that are not gospel causes. Satan's taking delight as he sees families led astray from the truth of Christ, the gospel, the word of God, as they're caught up in American priorities. Be aware of the spirit of error. Satan's always working. Each generation is just some different trick he uses to deceive people. Number two, if you want to stand strong in God's truth, use the test and tools God has given you. Look in verse number one as John continues. He says, test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This word test here speaks of a close examination. A close examination. So as you hear spiritual ideas, you should work very hard. You should pray. You should exercise vigilance and wisdom. You should be discerning. You should study God's word. You should consult Christian friends and those who are strong in the scriptures. You should be careful before you jump on to any new Christian teaching. You should be careful in accepting any new form of Christianity. Hold it up to the standard of God's word and perform a close examination. Now, as John spoke about the believer's needs to perform a close examination, he gave two standards for his readers. First of all, he reminds them of the word of God. He does that in multiple ways in verses 1 through 4. He speaks of prophecy. He speaks of the Spirit of God. And we know that it is the Spirit of God that moved prophets and apostles to give the Word of God. It is the Spirit of God who inspired the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. So he holds up, we believe, the revealed truth of the Lord as a standard for testing the religious beliefs that were present in Asia Minor. So God's word holds true. Scripture is true. It is given by God, and it is the authority for our lives. John 17:17. Did you know this? The Bible is God's means for you growing into all that he wants you to be. 1 Peter 2:2. It is an illuminating guide for your life. Psalm 119:105. It is truth and wisdom from the Heavenly Father to you. When you hold the Bible in your hand, you hold the very words of God that can serve as a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Your greatest source of illumination and inspiration in life shouldn't be from me or from any TV preacher or any Christian author. It should be the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. You see, this book, when it is stored up in your mind, in your heart, when you read it regularly, when you consider it just as important as your daily food, it will keep you from all sin and error. Psalm 119:11. The Bible is given to us by God so that we might have what we need for spiritual and moral teaching. The Bible, when we get off course, rebukes us and corrects us. When we need wisdom, it trains us in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. So, believer, it may seem simple. This may seem like something preachers say over and over again. But read your Bible. Memorize your Bible. Meditate on it. Think about it throughout the day. Talk about it with your family at mealtime. Study the Bible and share the Bible with those within your circle of influence. Know this, when your heart is a storehouse for God's word, you'll be better equipped to stand up against all the crazy stuff going on in our world. So the Bible is your first test, but number two, think about the gospel test. So we need the word of God, but we have to also always go back to the gospel. If we forget the gospel, the love of God, and the way in which Jesus has secured our righteousness through the cross, we'll easily make the Bible about a rule book. We'll easily become all head and no heart. If we don't stay focused on the fact that Christ died for us and the only holiness and righteousness we have comes through Jesus, we'll become like first century Pharisees, legalistic, cultural, man-centered, tradition-based religion without a true soul connection to the Father through Christ. Paul reminds John reminds his readers of the need for the gospel. In verse number 2, he says, "This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." See, this was the big problem in Asia Minor, like some of the cults of our day. The Gnostics de-emphasized Christ. Yeah, Christ is good, a lot of great teachings, but you need more than Christ. You need our special teaching. You need our code of ethics. You need our new revelation. You need more than what the apostles gave because they were deceived to a degree. They didn't have perfect knowledge as we have it. So John just appeals to the simple gospel, something we call the incarnation. God himself, the holy, perfect God, the creator of the cosmos, took upon himself human nature, Philippians 2, 5 through 10. Why? Because we needed forgiveness. We needed saving. Our human nature was corrupted and destined for hell, an eternity separated from God, in which a just judge will pour out all of his wrath for sin for all of eternity. But God loved us so much that he came as a man and he lived a perfect life. He never did any sin. And then that perfect body, that perfect flesh was crucified on a cross for your flesh. Because you deserved alienation from God, Jesus was alienated from God on your behalf. And because you deserved death, eternal death in hell, Jesus died in your place. And because you were unable to live the Christian life, because you were unable to save yourself, Christ defeated death. He got up from the grave. He came back to life, proving that all who believe and trust in him can receive both the abundant life here on earth and eternal life in eternity. And Jesus was alive on earth for 40 days, and he proved that he defeated Satan, sin, and death. And after 40 days, he ascended back into the heavens. And right now, as I preach, he is at the right hand of God, and he is the head of the church. And all who have trusted and believed in him, you are washed of all of your sins. It is not special knowledge. It is not the mere works of religion that saved you. It is Christ crucified, buried, risen, and ascended that washes you of all of your dirty sin and that gives you hope that when your body dies, your soul will go to live with him and the Father at the right hand of God. And John wanted his readers to remember this great gospel message. They didn't need the newfangled teaching coming from so-called Christian teachers. They didn't need to get caught up on all the glitz and the glam of people doing church in a new way. They needed to stay grounded in the Bible and in the gospel. Know this, believer, your sufficiency, your satisfaction, your strength, your security, your spiritual well-being in life doesn't come through some man-centered form of religion. It doesn't come through all the stuff of the world, all the achievements and the attainments of humanity. It comes from the Word of God and the gospel alone. So as you seek to stand strong, perform a spiritual test. Hold everything you see in society, whether it be moral, political, spiritual, intellectual, hold it up, cultural, hold it up to the Word of God and the gospel. Lastly, we see this truth. If you want to stand strong, don't forget who you are. John reminded his readers in verse 4, he said, "You are from God, little children." Now notice how he uses the term of address, little children. He wants to be real careful he's not talking to the unbelievers gathered in the church. This letter was read on the Lord's Day, Sunday, the local congregation. So John wanted to be careful to say, "You are from God, little children." Be aware there are some people who are from God and some people who are not from God. God isn't a universal God where all get saved and it works out in the end for everybody. Sin separates people from God. If you have never been saved, if you have never been born again, you are, Ephesians 2:1 right now, spiritually dead in your trespasses and sin. You can only claim what I'm about to say if you have humbled yourself and asked God to save you through Jesus. Notice John says to the real believers, you are from God. The original language of the text has the Greek preposition ek, means out of. It's literally strong language. You are out of God. You have been, he's wanting to remind the church, you have been birthed by God. You are now his child, and you have conquered them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Though the one who is in the world, Satan, had drummed up a new false teaching that was deceiving and discouraging many, the real believers could overcome. Be aware there's movements in Christianity today that wants to get us focused on causes that are not gospel causes. There's movements in this world, things going on in our nation, politically and spiritually, that can distract you, that will even tell you, if you don't jump on our wagon, if you don't promote our cause, then there's something wrong with you. Believer, you need to, in this 21st century world, remember the words of John. You're from God. You've been born out of God, and he says you have conquered them. The word here means to overcome. It's the word from which the rulers Nicholas got their name. It's a word from which the shoe giant Nike got its name. An overcomer, a victor, a winner, a warrior who won a decisive victory on a battlefield, an athlete in the Roman Colosseum who stood on the podium and received a garland. This is a winner, a victor. And the Bible here, given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reminds us of our standing as blood-washed, spirit indwelt believers. We are overcomers in Christ. And if we want to stand strong in the truth in this weird world, we have to remember our standing in Christ. I brought a picture of one of the first Nike shoes this morning. This is the Nike Cortez right here. Nikes have come a long way. There were a couple of models before the Nike Cortez, but this is the one that really catapulted the shoe brand to fame. The Nike Cortez, real simple, and models after this, they changed the sole, and they got a lot more complicated, right? And then a few years later, they had Michael Jordan as a spokesperson, and Nike took off. But the swoosh on the side was designed by a graphic designist who designed that logo, I believe, for $35. And now it's all over the world. It's on the Braves jersey this year. But it was intended to depict this overcoming spirit. Remember, as a believer, the Spirit of the God is within you. John 3:3, if you're a true believer this morning, if you've been saved, you're born again, and you can stand strong in God's truth because you are an overcomer through the Spirit. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So believer, if you want to stand strong in this generation, look out, be aware of the spirit of error. Use the test God has given you, the Bible and the gospel. And remember, you're an overcomer.
For more information, visit us online at tabernaclebaptist.org. Thanks for listening.